By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks seeks to glorify God by the pursuing of truth and God's word and applying it to our everyday lives. Ambassador Talks is a ministry of Ambassador Baptist Church. You can find out more information about the church by visiting ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and as always, I'm joined by Nathan Phillips across from me. And on the other side across from me is our pastor, Robert Setzer, and our special guest, who I'll introduce in a second. We've been going through our installments on hope, and we've been covering some wonderful topics lately, and tonight is no different. And we are joined by a very special guest tonight, Pastor Terry Hunt. Pastor Terry Hunt is the pastor of the Life Center in Lenore. And Life Center, we found out just a few moments ago, has been in ministry since 1932. That is amazing. And Pastor Hunt has been there for 31 years coming up this week and this month in September. And we're going to speak to him more about that. And we are super excited to have you here, Pastor.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Pastor Hunt, we're talking about unity tonight, and we're talking about spiritual unity more than anything, I think, and because spiritual unity, under the umbrella of the body of Christ, goes beyond skin color, it goes beyond nationality, wealth, power, or politics. So, let's start off by asking this. As a local pastor and a community leader, what issues do you see facing the area churches today in regards to unity?
Well, what comes to my mind, first of all, is Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree? Right. And so churches today are not walking together. We are doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. We are kind of siloed, and we do not affiliate or associate or try to do things together. You know, together we can accomplish more than we can by ourselves. Right. But it seems like churches, we want to stay in our four walls and stay in our communities and do the things that we want to do. Another reason I think is important is in the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote a letter to the seven churches. And the last letter was to the church of Laodicea, which was the lukewarm church. Because the church thought it had everything that it needed, and it didn't need anything else. He said, you're neither hot nor your coat, because you think you're self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And see, by us isolating ourselves and turning into silos, Pastor Selson, and not working together, we feel that we're sufficient inside our four walls. And so we're only reaching a small dynamics of our community because we think what we're doing is successful if we have a church full on Sunday. And that may not be the case because we're just reaching a certain segment of the community and not all the community.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a big issue for everyone in churches around this area, and not just this, I mean, around the globe, that we have to unify in our likenesses, I guess I should say. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, down through the years, I know you guys can speak to it probably more than I can, but I've grown up in church all of my life, and it just seems like so many churches aren't together. So many churches I don't even hear about. Mm-hmm. So many I've never heard you preach, and you're in this area, mm-hmm. and so my question is, why is that? Why are we so opposed to branching out? Why are we opposed to you know, a lot of different things, Pastor.
You know, Nathan, I'm going to throw this in real quick. We're very adamant, you know, this team right here is, and I am, about, I know there's a racial divide they talk about in our nation at this point. But I believe what Paul said in Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. I believe there's only one race, and that's mm-hmm. the race of mankind. Mm-hmm. So there's people Absolutely. Groups, mm-hmm. as Ken Ham would define, but there's only one race. That's I mean, you know. And so I know we're talking about the church right now. I don't I don't know an answer to heal this divide except it be through Jesus Christ, Bishop Terry.
Exactly right. And even through Jesus Christ, think about this. As a church, and we're talking about church here, we have the same enemy, which is Satan.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that we should not wrestle against flesh and blood. So, and we serve the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to the same heaven. We have the same God the Father. And we have the same Holy Spirit dwelling Amen. In all of us. But yet, we can agree that there is there's not unity in the church, because we somehow want to take church and make it fit us. And we want people to come in to join us. Okay, that's kind of the language that we talk about. We want you to come and join us. Mm. So in order to join us, you've got to come in and be like us. Mm. And so I agree with what you're saying, and I bought the book here that I was up at the Ark, by the way, here just a few weeks ago. And Ken Ham and Dr. A. Charles Ware wrote a book together called One Race, One Blood.
Yeah, say amen to it.
And so for a couple of years now, I've been experimenting with this thought. What if there was no race? Mm. What if on our applications we didn't have to put down our race? What if on our driver license we didn't put, see what happens is, and these guys go into great detail all the way back to Charles Darwin's theory mm-hmm. on evolution, that somehow or another one race or one group of people has to rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And then if we all have evolved from something in order to get where we are today. So he planted the seed in people's minds and hearts. And so in America is probably the most racial divided nation on the face of the earth. Let me tell you why I say that, because I've been doing some research. And what I found is that when you go to Canada, you're not a white Canadian or a black Canadian or a Hispanic Canadian. You are a Canadian. Mm-hmm. When you go to France, you're not a black Frenchman or a white Frenchman or a Hispanic Frenchman or a China Frenchman. You are a Frenchman. Only in America do we divide people by the color of their skin. And then in the church, and I know I'll get shot for this, but I preach this everywhere I go. In the church, we separate ourselves by denomination.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in the Bible that we all read and serve and daily, there's no such thing as denomination in there. But denomination divides us. Because if I'm out traveling, and I'll be honest just like you will, if I'm going to visit a church, I'm going to try to find a church that is closest to the church where I attend mm-hmm. as I possibly can. So if I've got on my placard outside that says I'm a Catholic church or a Baptist church, who do I expect is going to come?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that was one thing I kind of wanted to throw out to you, because as I was thinking about all of this and already referenced growing up and, you know, just not being around, you know, just black preachers or anything. I mean, yeah. I just didn't. If one come to church or one showed up, it was considered, you know, good and a blessing and everything, but it just didn't happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, so what are those things that kind of keep us from that? Do you feel like, kind of like what you're saying here to piggyback off of, do you think if a pastor is a certain race or do you think that kind of, you know, molds the congregation into that, you know, diversity, or what do we do to kind of branch out of that? I think about people like Tim Keller, who pastors a church up in New York, mm-hmm. and I just recently found out that 50% of his church is Asian.
Yeah,
and he's, you know, a white man, of course, mm-hmm. and you know, so what are we missing here? You know, I just want to throw that out to you and what you thought on that.
Well, part of it is that we have a tendency to go after people who are like us instead of going after people who are not like us. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come." All right, and so we have a tendency to that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. So we have a tendency to go after people who are like us instead of being intentionally going after people who are not like us. So we was talking earlier about that, and from a pastor standpoint, regardless of the color of his skin, is that if he's preaching that message and if he's intentionally going after people and telling the congregation to go after people who are not like us. We started this back in the mid-90s at our church, intentionally going after people who are not like us. And so when I first brought it up to our congregation, I did have a couple of families, African-American families, who said, we don't want this to happen in our church. And if you do this, we're going to leave our church because, quote, we're going to lose our heritage. Mm-hmm. So I said, show me in the scripture where anything has to do with your heritage or your race, and I will back away from this subject. But I truly believe that God wants us to go after people who are not like us. So I intentionally went out to some of the people who are not like us, and I invited them to come and visit our church service on Sunday morning and to do a survey. We've come up with some questions, and the congregation didn't know about this. So I wanted to know, did they feel welcome? Did they feel invited? How many people said hello to them? Welcome to our church. I wanted you to look to see, if you was going to attend this church, what do we need to change? So one of the things was that we hold service too long. And so, you know, I kind of laughed.
You go to get in, not to get out.
Yeah, exactly right. And so we started videoing our service, okay? And we actually found a lot of wasted time. At that time, I was doing a program on WJRI, and it was a 30-minute program. And so I remember the manager called me over one day and said, hey, Terry, I want to help you. You've got a lot of wasted airtime on here. And I said, what do you mean by wasted airtime? And so he set me down and showed me how to tighten that thing up and get as much as I can in there. So when we video the church, I noticed that we had a lot of wasted time in our service. So we started streamlining our service. As a matter of fact, I went to a couple of churches that were not like us so that I could learn how that they could get in and do the sermon, the message, and get everything done and be out by 12 o'clock. So if we wanted to attract people who are not like us, I knew that was something I was in control of. And so I began to streamline the services. We put together a nice program, not leaving the Holy Spirit out of it, okay? Because I was accused of that many times. If you program a service, what if the Holy Spirit wants to do something? Well, he can do it, whatever he wants to do, okay? But I wanted us to start on time. That was one of the problems that we suffered, was starting on time. So at 10:30 a.m. in the morning, guys, I don't care if there's one person at church, it starts, boom, okay? Our culture was to wait till everybody got there. And so if you was important, I could take my time. They ain't going to start till I get there. Well, that first Sunday morning, those people who thought they was important came in, and they was like, I hear music. You know,
noise.
Yeah. And so that's what we had to do in order to become intentionally. We started inviting people in who were not like us to preach so that our congregation could get used to people preaching and teaching who were not like us. And so then we started having revival services and tent meetings and Wednesday night services with other churches who were not like us so that our congregation could look and say, hey, well, there ain't nothing wrong with them. We won't lose who we are if we start fellowshipping together. And that's how that door opened. And today we're about 22% Caucasian.
That's true.
In our church.
That's true.
And we have them on our leadership. We have them. Matter of fact, our youth pastor is a Caucasian young man. And that has been great for us. Absolutely great for us. This is our second Caucasian youth pastor. And our congregation loves it.
You know, Pastor, when I was in Bible college up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I went to work. I'd done some bus work, but I also worked in a chapel. And I worked in a chapel up there for a while where the pastor was a black gentleman. And, of course, he was a great guy. And that was a very good experience for me.
Yeah.
So
absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so if we could get to the point to where we didn't identify people by the color of their
right.
skin, and here's Brother Matt, or here's Brother Nathan, or this is Pastor Setzer, and we didn't start off with that, I think we could start breaking down those walls.
Absolutely.
And that's a great example of what you're talking about. It doesn't have to be just because of the geographic location that we're in.
No.
This is the Bible Belt. This is the South. We're seeing success based on God's word right here.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic. Now, Pastor, what do we find in Pastor Setzer? What do we find in God's Word about unity and racial harmony?
Wow. You know, I just read the passage there, Matt, from Acts 17 from the Apostle Paul. And of course, the context there, he's gone into the city of Athens, which is predominantly Greek. And this was a city, you talk about heritage, their heritage was philosophy and philosophers. And but yet, when you look even at the church at Antioch, it was mixed as far as a people group, and it's like it was a non-issue. I do not see anywhere, Nathan, in the New Testament, in the missionary journeys of Paul, as they build churches, plant churches, establish mm-hmm. churches across the entire region, I never, not one time, have I seen where people of different ethnic backgrounds made any difference. It's like they just all melded in together.
I mean, well, exactly what I was thinking there. It's, why would it, you know, be like that? Because as we talked about before, I think on here on, I think it was the worship episode that we talked yeah. about, it's like when we see other people worship and how they worship, then we can really start to piece together God and how he works through other people. Mm-hmm. You know, and until we see that, then, you know, we're not getting the whole picture. But, I mean, I think about, you know, verses like, you know, Isaiah 43:6 that says, you know, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gospel is clear. There is no, you know, dividing line. It is human or not.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. And then when you look at Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. She was considered a half-breed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus intentionally sent his disciples into the city of Samaria to buy food. And in those days, the Jews would not even associate, nevertheless, go buy food. So Jesus was breaking down traditional walls. And I think that's what happened to church, because today in America, still the church is the most segregated institution left. Mm-hmm. And brothers, we should have been the first one.
Absolutely.
You know, we should have never exactly had the government to integrate our schools. Our churches should have been integrated. We should have been the first one to go mm-hmm. out and say, absolutely, this is not right. Mm-hmm. But even today in America, 2016, we still have this same problem. Mm-hmm. And so I admire you guys even just talking about or thinking about going out and getting people who are not like us. Because I got tired of saying people who are white, Hispanic, Asian, or whatever. And I said, I'm going to stop identifying people by their race. And I'm just going to say, go out and get people who are not like us. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so everybody knows what that means when you say people. Because we're all people of color.
Okay. Absolutely.
If you say white's not a color, yes. I mean, I don't understand it. If people would say white's not a color, we're all people of
color.
You're
exactly right.
And so God made the rainbow, and the colors is what makes it beautiful.
That's right.
Right? If it was just a blue rainbow, it'd be sky, right? If it was white, it'd be a cloud, or black, it would be a thundercloud. But I'm just saying, no, we are all people of color, so why can't we worship together? We work together. We play together. We go to school together. We go to Walmart together. We go vacation together. Why can't we worship together?
We must worship together.
Yeah.
We have to. So.
Now, this question is not something we discussed earlier. Why do people...
Curveball, man.
Yeah. Time for a curveball, guys. I've heard, now, in the past, I've heard people use Old Testament illustrations as an excuse for being racist. Let's just be honest, for being racist in their thinking.
Right, like not, you know, mixing and things like that,
right.
You're talking about. Everybody should have separate,
understand,
you know.
Why,
well, that's
that.
Because their premise is wrong to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming from an evolutionary Charles Darwinian mm-hmm. premise that there is different races in the Bible.
And let alone the fact that I think you have some verses out of context. I mean,
yes,
like,
I agree.
Unequally
absolutely.
Yoked together. And it's like, we really have to go to the context to understand what things are talking about. You can't just, like, throw out a phrase and be like, oh, well, that means we shouldn't go to church with those people.
Right. You're exactly right. And God was talking about spiritual when he said, yes, do not be unequally yoked.
Absolutely.
But the other thing was that God chose a group of people in the Old Testament to serve him. And that mm-hmm. was the Hebrews, or the Jews, in other words. And so he chose them to be his chosen people. So God didn't want them, because they was the only one who worshiped him as God. No other group of people on the face of the earth at that time knew God or even worshiped him. And so God didn't want them to go out and marry pagan worshipers to bring that in. Mm-hmm. Solomon was a perfect example of that, right?
Absolutely.
He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Every wife he married, he thought if he could go marry the king of this mm-hmm. nation's daughter, he would have peace. Well, he had peace. Mm-hmm. But what they did, they turned his heart away from God, because he had to put up a temple for them and their pagan god to worship on the mountaintop. So God's method of us staying pure as far as one God and whom we serve mm-hmm. is what he was talking about. Not the Charles Darwin evolution theory of one race is superior. It's kind of like Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler wanted a race of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, and he wasn't blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you think about that. I mean, you'd say, well, yeah. What was he? You know, so... And it goes back to a church. If you find a perfect church, don't you go, because it won't be perfect anymore. I think it's valid that we do reach across what we call walls or lines or any ethnic. We do that, but here's one of the things that we got to be careful of. We can't talk about people as being minorities. Okay? Because now think about this. If you had your child out here on the soccer team, and your child was not as good as the first string team, okay, and he was second string or third or bench warmer, whatever. I've been a bench warmer. I've been third string. I've been the last guy that's been picked. I know how that makes you feel. So when you put people together and you say, well, you are a minority and you are the majority, then that makes you superior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. and you can't have that in our yeah. world of serving Christ, because there are no superior race or people, and so that turns people away too when you start talking about them being. And if you look in America right now, our Hispanic brothers and sisters are now becoming the majority, mm-hmm. and we're all, if we're going to look at that from a demographic standpoint, we're all minorities.
Yep.
So, so you've got to watch the language that we've all been taught and we've all
sure.
had as tradition, because that turns people away. If you go up and say, brother, I'm glad to have you in our church today. Well, you don't realize, but you're saying to him, because he is mm-hmm. not like us, we're glad to have you.
Hmm.
You see where I'm sure. going with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you really have to be intentional. In order to cross that line.
That's great. And part of that, crossing those lines, is getting outside of the church walls, like you're talking about, and getting involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I've seen about you and that I really appreciate is your involvement in the community. And so take just a few moments to tell us about some of the ministries that you have outside of the church.
Wow. Well, Pastor Robert and I, we both are part of the Caldwell Pregnancy Care Center, which is a unique Christ-centered ministry. Mm-hmm. That ministers to mothers-to-be and fathers-to-be now. It used to was focusing on just mom or mm-hmm. the expected mother. And we was providing them with not only spiritual resources, but also the physical resources that's necessary to bring that child into this world and to raise that child with the proper amenities that they need. So our new director now, Michelle Kirby, had a vision that not only should we be ministering to the women, but we should be ministering to the men who are mm-hmm. coming with them. Mm-hmm. So we've now began a new mentoring program for men. And that's
fantastic.
A great ministry. I love being in that ministry. Mm-hmm. A couple of other things that we're involved in the community is Caldwell County Leaders for Change. And that ministry, and I call it a ministry, but it started in 2007. And here in Caldwell County, we felt the need that we had at least three major problems here. One was unemployment. Because Caldwell County was mm-hmm. suffering. We was in double-digit unemployment rates here at that time. Second was teenage pregnancies in our high schools. Our three high
sure.
schools were inundated, and even our middle school, we found teens who were in middle school who were pregnant.
Mm.
And then the other thing was we wanted to look at was gangs here in Caldwell County. We, through law enforcement, validated 8 different gangs in Caldwell County.
Wow.
Wow.
And most of them were wannabes, because people travel from Charlotte And they'll come to a little town like this, and they would stand outside of our middle schools and recruit kids join these gangs. Hmm. And so we had a gang here that had the gang letters were 828. You never thought. So I went to one of our middle schools and sat down with the principal having lunch with him, and the kid next to me was sitting there drawing gang signs, and I looked at the principal and said, "Do you know what he's drawing?" He said, "No." I said, "He's sitting here drawing gang signs right here under your nose, and you don't have a clue." So Dr. Stone and the school board was gracious to allow us to develop brochures, and we had training sessions with the faculty and staff teaching them what to look for. And bathroom graffiti was on all the bathrooms. They didn't have a clue what it was. So we were able to go in and not only to work with our school system, but we were able to shut down with our law enforcement the gangs that were here in Caldwell County. And so we're still on top of it. We do have gang units who are working on that. The other thing was teenage pregnancies, and we were able to do a lot of with our school system and our churches. And so our teenage pregnancy rate is way down through that. Today, we are focusing on what we call Project Lazarus, which is making people aware of how to safely store and dispose of prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. Do you know we've got a major epidemic in Caldwell County of overdose deaths? And so we've been focusing on that for the last few years. And then lastly, we just started another conversational piece like this called We the People here in Caldwell County. And the last two times that we met has been at the First Baptist Church downtown Lenore. And we've been meeting, bringing people in and asking them questions such as, you know, how have you experienced racism here in Caldwell County? And just letting people talk, you know, we've got law enforcement there. We've got, you know, city and council and county officials there. But those have been great ministry outlets that we've been involved in outside the church.
You know what that's called? That's called being salt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Tune in next week to hear part two. As always, thanks for listening to Ambassador Talks, where we are outside the box, but inside the Word.